You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Weaker iron ore prices, port disruptions and acts of nature weighed down Kumba Iron Ore's first half profits. Net income during the first 6 months of 2026 was 4.1 billion rand compared with 7.1 billion rand a year earlier. The miner declared an interim dividend of 7 rand 90 per share, some 2.5 billion rand, following a 41% decline in headline earnings to 13 rand 24 a share. In spite of a tough operating environment though, the Anglo-American unit delivered an EBITDA margin of 35% and production that has been fatality-free. We speak now to Kumba Iron Ore CEO Mpumi Zikalala. Ma Zikalala, thank you very much for your time this evening. So a week ago today, you issued a trading statement anticipating a profit drop. How would you characterize the first half performance?
Hi, Dudu, and thank you for having me. So I've actually characterized it as resilient, considering all the external pressures that you've spoken about. So we sell our production in dollars. So when you convert that back into rands, we clearly, with the 11% strengthening of the rand, so a reduction in our sales. Secondly, our sales volumes actually dropped slightly, you know, and that was as a result of the additional 10 days of maintenance shut work that was done on the logistics line. I have to say that we supported this simply because it does essentially mean that we'll see further improvements in the logistics space in future. And then last but definitely not least, the war in the Middle East did mean that clearly we were under pressure just from an input price perspective linked to predominantly diesel, as well as ammonia that goes towards explosives. And then you also spoke about the rain. And the reason why I fundamentally characterized our results as being resilient is simply because when you look across the board, you know, our production was marginally lower, even with the significant levels of rain that we saw. We were fatality free, which is critical for us because keeping our people safe is key. And then the drop in earnings, I mean, if you look at it, 96% of that was actually linked to external factors.
You mentioned the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and how it has had an impact on operations. How material has expenditure on petroleum products and freight rates been?
So a couple of things on this. So one is we looked at fuel from an availability perspective, and I was very pleased when our supply chain and finance teams were able to ensure that we were not going to be impacted as a result of this. And then secondly, diesel is one of our key cost drivers together with ammonia, and we have seen the impact. I guess fundamentally the question is, what will be the impact on a go-forward basis? And that clearly depends on how long it will take for the war to finally be over. The last thing that impacted us is that when we sell, there's a freight element that's linked to our cargo going to our customers, be it from a China, Europe, Japan, South, and South Korea perspective. And we have seen an increase in the freight rates by virtue of the increase in fuel prices as well.
I'd like for us to go back to the acts of nature that you briefly touched on. We understand this was the heaviest regional rainfall since 1918. Just talk to our listeners rather about the operations that were impacted and what happened to production there.
Yeah. So we had our normal rains between, you know, January to March, and that's the norm. And our teams were actually prepared and we continued running our operations. And then the rains continued into April and May. And to what you said, this was the highest ever recorded at Kolomela since 1918, and at Sishen, the highest ever recorded since 1963. So what we did essentially have is that we had flooding in the various parts of our business. But what I'm pleased with is that our teams actually remained focused and we were still able to declare fatality-free production during this period. And then if you just fundamentally look at the impact, we're still able to talk about a 4% improvement in our waste mining, even with the heavy rains. Clearly, we would have wanted to see more than this. And then from a production perspective, we did talk about the slight drop in production. Mm-hmm. And clearly, this is also linked to the rains. So our teams just remained focused. And post the rains, we focused on getting back to stability in terms of our operations.
You also declared a dividend of 2.5 billion rand, 60% of headline earnings against a payout policy of 50 to 75% of earnings. What should this tell us?
This should give an indication that as Kumba, we actually deliver on our promises. As you said, our dividend policy calls for the 50 to 75% of our payout ratio, and that's exactly what we fundamentally did. As we were thinking about the dividend, we were mindful of a couple of things. Firstly, we are busy with a massive capital investment program, and that's linked to our ultra-high dense medium separation project, as well as the recapitalization of our fleet. And this is critical for us because it's the investment into the future of our business. And that will essentially result in elevated levels of capital over the next couple of years. The other thing that we considered was just fundamentally where the world is right now with all the volatility and the levels of uncertainty. We don't know when the war in the Middle East will finally be over. And as a result, we believe that we were, I guess, balanced in terms of what it is that we paid from a dividend perspective and responsible.
You realized an export price that is above the benchmark in spite of industry challenges. That is what, $90 per wet metric ton. What does that speak to?
This was indeed 8% above the benchmark, and it speaks to the quality of our product. So what we look at is that we look at the index itself, and then by virtue of the iron content within our product. This was sitting at 63.6%. We actually earn a premium. And then we earn an additional premium that's linked to the fact that we have a naturally formed product called lump. And this is very good for the blast furnaces. And we earn an additional premium. And this 8% above the benchmark is something that we value as a business. And with the introduction of the new technology of ultra-high dense medium separation, we will actually see more premiums coming through. I do want to compare this to what others have seen. So if you look at Australia in the Pilbara, they actually have reduced the quality of their material, moving from the 62 to the 61 to the 61 index. And for us, we see this as a massive element that we need to continue looking at in order to differentiate ourselves as a business.
You've mentioned the UHDMS project at the Sishen mine here in South Africa. Is implementation on track? What's the business case of this technology?
So firstly, this is a game changer for us. It's a project which looks at an implementation of ultra-high dense medium separation technology, which will fundamentally mean that we'll be able to reduce the cutoff grade of the material that goes into our plant, which means that material that would typically go into the waste stream will go into the plant. And as a result, we will be able to reduce the amount of waste that we mine and see a benefit from an operating cost perspective. On the other end, you would think that if you feed lower grade material, that you would produce product that is essentially characterized by lower qualities. What's impressive for us is that even with that, we'll see an improvement in our qualities, and that will see us earning more premiums linked to the element that we've just spoken above, which is the average realized export price above the benchmark. So one is, it's a fundamental game changer for us. It is an 11.2 billion rand project that is converting our current dense medium separation plants into ultra-high dense medium separation. And this year is a critical year for us. So in the second half, starting, you know, in August, the second week of August, we'll actually stop this plant from running as we conduct critical materials handling tie-in. And I'm excited if I just look at the level of preparations that has been done by our teams. So looking forward to essentially a second half where we'll connect and then continue with the investment simply because of the benefits that this will yield for us.
It sounds like there's no slowing down in spite of these external conditions. Thank you very much, Mazikalala, for your time this evening. Mpumi Zikalala is Kumba Iron Ore CEO.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.